Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. How should Massachusetts, its cities and towns, regulate development? The question quickly takes you deep into the weeds of public policy and zoning laws, but here's a striking fact. State laws that govern development and zoning haven't been updated in 40 years. Think about it, 4 decades. In the meantime, our thinking about automobiles, neighborhoods, housing density, bicycles, public transportation has evolved dramatically. Somerville Mayor Joe Curtatone says these old laws pose a huge challenge. They make it difficult for communities to plan and build in ways that make sense. They hurt the environment by favoring sprawl and too often result in costly court battles. Mayor Curtatone wrote about this on WBUR's Cognoscenti Opinion blog, along with Andre LaRue, the executive director of the Massachusetts Smart Growth Alliance. They called their piece Why Massachusetts' Outdated Zoning Act Has to Go. And they're with me now in the studio. And Mayor Curtatone and Mr. LaRue, welcome to the program. Good to have you both.
Thanks, thank you.
So let me start with you, and I'll start with you, Mr. Mayor. At the heart of your argument is this sort of idea that what the state needs to rewrite its outdated zoning act. You suggest it conflicts with local community aims and community values, right?
Right. And if you look at communities like Somerville or in this region where we're seeing what is occurring really around the country, the greatest demographic shift in our nation's history since mid-century, and it's funny because, you know, base zoning in this state hasn't really changed since then.
Yeah.
We have people flocking to urban centers, you know, to, you know, and millennials, baby boomers, they're hipsters in Somerville, you know, they want to be connected by bicycle, by being able to walk, by public transportation, the jobs, housing, and academia. And much of our zoning does not unlock, allow us to leverage that opportunity. Much of our zoning promotes sprawl even in urban centers. Much of our zoning does not give predictability to either investors or developers or community residents. So Massachusetts really needs to step back as a state to ask itself, you know, what kind of state do we want to be?
Mm-hmm.
What kind of economic opportunity do we unlock? Do we want to promote the tenets of smart growth and transit-oriented development? Do we want to create walkable, bikeable, accessible communities that embrace the tenets, again, of smart growth and TOD? And this is the challenge for us now. And the legislation before up at Beacon Hill right now would allow that to happen.
Well, I want to talk about that legislation in a minute, but Andre LaRue, let me come to you and just sort of elaborate on what the mayor said there. So in trying to develop neighborhoods that are more diverse, denser, more densely developed, walkable, bikeable, close to public transportation, how does the current outdated zoning act prevent that from happening?
Well, as the mayor mentioned, the real estate market has undergone a transformation, probably greater than we've seen over the last 60 years. And, you know, over the last 60 years, we've really built our communities around the automobile.
Mm-hmm.
Most cities and towns in Massachusetts have a minimum lot size of 1, 2, 3 acres for every housing unit. So as a result, the amount of housing that we're producing has gone down quite a bit. And that's really the cause of our stratospheric real estate market. And that's not a good thing for most of us. It's not a good thing in terms of the competitiveness of our region. And we have to have more cities and towns planning ahead for growth. And that means not only doing planning, but then rezoning. And we got to make it easier and give them a modern set of tools to do that.
So let's make this real and talk about the kind of development and zoning laws that you'd like to see. And I'd love to talk about a real world example. And so I'm going to come back to you, Mayor Curtatone. Somerville is undergoing extraordinary changes thanks to the expansion of the Green Line, the Orange Line, and one place you can see that happening right now is Assembly Square, in a big way, right? This was the site of an old auto assembly plant. Now you're building a new neighborhood there. So how does this embody what you're talking about?
Well, in Somerville, we've developed a comprehensive plan that spells out our future, who we want to be when we want to grow up over the next 20 years, the amount of jobs, open space, how we want to change the mode of transportation by 50% to more biking and walking, how we want to create 30,000 new jobs in our community. So we have a future that we want to build together as a community based on a set of values oriented by making ourselves the most exceptional place to live, work, play, raise a family. If we want that future to happen, we have to zone for that future.
Mm-hmm.
And in Somerville, I think we're a very good example of how we've done that, how the community's rallied around to think about what we wanted to accomplish at Assembly Square, building a brand new neighborhood that never existed on the Mystic River, a riverfront that most people didn't even know we had. You know, we wanted to bring back neighborhoods of the past, neighborhoods that were developed around transit. Somerville at mid-century which is an interesting threshold point in this conversation, had just short of 20 rail and trolley stops. And all our neighborhoods, all our industry, all our quality of life was built around that transit and that accessibility. And then what happened? The car became king. I-93 came in, uprooted much of the city, cut ourselves off from one another. We got rid of those stops, and we didn't see a new train station in Somerville till the Red Line in Davis Square. Now, you know, the city over the next 10 years or less, well, 15% of the city today is within a half-mile walking or biking distance of a transit node. 85% of it will be by 2020, and we want to plan for that future. How do we unlock housing opportunities? How do we enable collaborative creativity, innovation? How do we build a local sustainable economy?
So arguably that's already happening in Somerville. And you're already rewriting your own zoning laws to make this kind of development more doable. In fact, before you came in earlier today, I was reading a column by Paul McMorrow, who wrote recently in the Globe that your city represents sane zoning. So the question is, can't local communities do this on their own without the state having to wait for the state to go do this? Either one of you.
Well, let me just add, I hope that some people look at Somerville as an example, yep, and how we based our future on a certain set of values and how we utilize really sane zoning as a tool to execute that future. But it can't be done piecemeal, community by community. Mm-hmm. If we think of the greater Boston region, we're 101 cities and towns alone in that region, a little bit more than 4 million people. And we have such opportunity to create an economy that competes in the 21st century global economy, to deal with the challenges on housing in a region that needs 435,000 units of housing by 2040, to make smart, prudent investments in innovation, in transportation. One community shouldn't be doing it alone. We're a great example, but we're so tightly knit geographically within this region, it behooves us to think broader than within our own boundaries.
Mm. I want to, do you want to jump in?
Let me give a different example, sure. Anthony. So the town of Winchester, for example, is a town with a commuter rail station right in the middle of its town center. It's a beautiful little town center, but it hasn't grown in decades. And this is the kind of place where there are good schools. We want people to live. And the businesses there are fairly marginal. You know, they need more foot traffic, too. But they didn't have a town planner until just a few years ago. So they have there are some real capacity issues at the local level. And so what we're trying to do with this bill is, in dozens of incremental ways, grease the wheels for so that development planning and permitting and development becomes more predictable and prompt.
I'm curious about one of the things that you both talked about in this piece, and that is you make the case that the way zoning regulations currently work in the state, that it's easier to do sort of haphazard sprawl, big box, side of the road sprawl, than the kind of carefully thought out, rebuilding neighborhoods in a way that makes sense to people who live their way. Why is that?
Well, it's the easiest thing to do under under most towns' zoning.
I see.
So, for example, as I mentioned with the residential units before, some towns have their baseline zoning is 2 or even 3 acres per home,
mm-hmm.
but that's what we've built over the last 20 to 30 years as a region. We've built as many McMansions as we need until the year 2030 as a region. We don't need to build anymore, but we've vastly underbuilt the amount of townhouses and apartments that we need in other places. And again, the boomers are downsizing. They want to stay in the communities where they raise their families and their children. The millennials want to be able to live there as well, but right now there's no housing opportunities for them. So what we need to do is really change our zoning, but it's very difficult to do that. To change zoning in Massachusetts, you need a 2/3 majority vote by town meeting or by the local body. So where this bill, for example, gives us the opportunity for communities to reduce that down to a majority.
And
vote.
If you think about what has happened the last half century ago, you had a transformation away from density, away from the urban core,
uh-huh,
supporting more sprawl, and those rules supported more sprawl. And really, that supports the market you see now. Well, people, there is a marketplace for that, and there's opportunity there. We need to change that marketplace with better rules.
All right. That's Mayor of Somerville, Joe Curtatone, and Andre LaRue, Executive Director of the Massachusetts Smart Growth Alliance. Thanks to both of you for coming in. Listeners, you can read their Cognoscenti piece, Why Massachusetts' Outdated Zoning Act Has to Go, at radioboston.org. Have a great weekend. I'm Anthony Brooks. Join us again Monday for more Radio Boston.